Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Something Businessy podcast. It's Franny here, and before we dive into today's episode, I have a question for you. When you go to write content for your brand, do you have a clear brand voice that you know exactly how to speak from? Or are you writing in a way that sounds professional, maybe a little ChatGPT-ish, or just like a lawyer or somebody boring wrote it? Sorry, lawyers, I'm not saying you're boring, but you know, the writing, we want to have a little more fun with our content. We want to insert that personality, that brand voice into every single piece of content, every email, every Instagram post, every podcast, all of the things that we do. So we made you a super fun brand persona quiz that will help get you started. And just by taking the quiz, you're going to learn something about yourself and your brand voice that maybe you didn't realize before. Then you're instantly going to get all kinds of awesome insights with a downloadable PDF guide that is custom to your results. Now, this quiz has been a huge hit for us for the past couple of years, but we just gave it a total makeover. So even if you've already taken it before, you're going to enjoy giving it another whirl. So pop on over to ampersand-studios.com/quiz and click start. All right, let's dive back into our topic for today.
Asking the questions back at the team or giving them a time to really creatively think or creatively problem solve is what I've been lacking as a leader. I am the first to give the answer instead of listening to what the question is, asking follow-up questions, and empowering the team to be autonomous and to really problem solve.
Welcome to the Something Businessy podcast. I'm Franny.
And I'm Nicole, and we are stoked to be your brand coaches and business besties. We started Ampersand Studios in 2009, and we've learned a few things. Over the years, we've made lots of mistakes, but celebrated a few big wins too.
We build brands by helping small business owners unapologetically settle into their voice and visuals so that they can create meaningful content that attracts the type of client and work that lights them up.
We designed this podcast to be your place to come every single week to get an honest and candid dose of inspiration, step-by-step actionable workshops, crazy stories, random thoughts, and our take-it-or-leave-it approach to business.
So get in. We never know where this is going to go, but we promise to at least talk about something businessy.
Welcome back to another episode of Something Businessy. This is Courtney. I am the Director of Operations for Ampersand Studios, Franny and Nicole's creative agency in Boise, Idaho. And every once in a while, I have a thought or idea that I want to hop on the podcast and kind of chat about a little bit. And so this one has been on my mind for quite a while, but it all starts with a question. And the question I have is, are you asking enough questions? So I've been reading the book, The Book of Beautiful Questions by Warren Berger. And so to be honest, I bet they would come up with better answers, like a million times better than what I come up with. But for some reason, I am just so quick to hop on whatever solution I think would be best. I was recommended this book when Nicole and I went to an EOS workshop called Great Boss. They do these all around the country with people that are already growing in their EOS journey and those who just want to be a better boss to their employees and aren't doing EOS at all. During the workshop, I learned that there is so much beauty in asking questions. And I also learned that I wasn't asking enough of them. So I almost left that workshop feeling like I'd completely failed my team. And then the EOS implementers mentioned this book, The Book of Beautiful Questions. And I saw a ton of leaders in the room who had been in management and leadership probably longer than I've been alive, just like eagerly jotting down the title and author like I was. And I knew right then that I wasn't the only one with this issue, so I didn't have to be hard on myself. Okay, kind of side note, I have to be honest, I cannot stop making fun of Franny and Nicole. Lately, I've been sitting down to edit these podcasts, and I always like make a bet with myself on how many times they will mention EOS in each episode. The Price is Right rules, of course. And so naturally, when I felt like I had something cool enough to talk about on the podcast, it's EOS related. So I guess I'm making fun of myself here. But before I dive in, I want to go ahead and ask you guys to take a guess at how many times I'm about to say EOS. And then at the end, When I'm editing this, I'll take count. And if you email or DM us and you're right on the money, I will send you a little prize. So there's a little hidden Easter egg in here for you. So don't forget to DM us and go ahead and do your betting. So I want to share what I've been doing with the team. I used to do a monthly check-in. So I think I talked about this a couple of times on the podcast already. If you go back and listen to my interview with Todd Henry, the author of Herding Tigers, I think I talked a little bit about this with him, but I always ask the same three questions in these monthly check-ins. And those questions were, how's the company culture? How's your workload? And do you have everything you need to be successful? Sometimes I would throw in a bonus question or add in a thought-provoking idea, but those were the same three questions that I always asked. Now, during the same Great Boss EOS workshop, I learned about the structure that I was going to be implementing soon as far as team check-ins went. They're called quarterly conversations, and they're pretty much just that. So these quarterly conversations are going to eventually completely take the place of our monthly check-ins that I was doing. So in the monthly check-ins, it was usually about 20 minutes, just giving the team time to ask me questions, bring up anything that maybe doesn't come up in the normal day-to-day, and really just give the team time to answer questions, to talk to me about things that maybe they just didn't have time for. We all get wrapped up in the day-to-day, and it's just really important to have that time with your team. Anyway, so a lot of leaders, managers, employers, they take time to do these sort of check-ins, but they're not really asking the right questions. And so I actually did a little bit of research and was looking through the notes that I had taken from my check-ins, my monthly check-ins back when this was all I was doing with the team. And it just didn't seem like there was enough substance. So I was really excited when during that EOS workshop, the Great Boss workshop, we talked a lot about these quarterly conversations and what they should look like and what they shouldn't look like. A big part of asking questions is, and this is the thing that is going to kill me, it's the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time when you are sitting down to chat with your team, whether it's a quarterly conversation or any sort of, you know, conversation that you have with your team, 80% should be them talking and 20% should be you talking. So that means 80% of the time you should be listening to what the team member is saying, and 20% of it is your response or you're additionally asking questions. I thought this was so cool. I had never really thought of it this way. And ever since I thought about the 80-20 rule or was told about it, I've been catching myself doing more like 40-60. 40% of the time letting the team talk and 60% of the time listening to my own voice. And this has really been an eye-opener for me for a lot of reasons. And I think the biggest one is that I learned about myself that I'm a fixer. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have a lot of great ideas. There's a reason I'm in leadership and in management, and I lean into those things. But the team had gotten into the habit, and I did this to myself, but the team had gotten into the habit of using me as their Google, if that makes sense. And I'm sure a lot of leaders, managers, team members, everybody can probably relate. I think every team has one of me. They're the human Google. It's like they always seem to have the answer. They are always kind of in the thick of everything that's going on. And you know that if you ask them, they will have the answer. I'm that person. I used to basically just be the team Google, you know, hey, when is this thing happening? Instead of them, you know, doing the research or looking up the date or something on their own, it was always Courtney has the answer. I don't need to look for it. So asking questions, bringing this full circle here, asking the questions back at the team or giving them a time to really creatively think or creatively problem solve is what I've been lacking as a leader. I am the first to give the answer instead of listening to what the question is, asking follow-up questions, and empowering the team to be autonomous and to really problem solve. I think the biggest thing that I was worried about was that as our team grows, which I'm going to go ahead and give a slow clap to Franny and Nicole, we have grown our team from, what was it, Franny and Nicole, I guess it would be like, what, 2 years ago? There were three people on our team, including Franny and Nicole. So it was Franny, Nicole, and myself. And now there is a total of 9 people. In 2 years, we have tripled our team and, you know, revenue ideas, all of that has just kind of followed. And it's been incredible to watch, but it's also a lot more managing of people. It's not just managing my own time. It's managing myself and 8 other humans. And I love it and it's great, but I need to be teaching the team, especially those who are on track to be department leads. I need to teach them to be creatively problem solving and thinking and looking for solutions without reaching out to me. For everything, at least. Of course, they'll always be able to reach out to me, but I really thought so deeply about this as I started reading the Book of Beautiful Questions. So this book is broken up into 6 parts. Of course, it has a killer intro, which makes you feel like you don't ask enough questions. But it really starts off with why you ask questions and what the importance is of a question, and how questions can help us decide and create and connect and honestly lead. So there are sections that just really are thought-provoking. Part 1, it talks about questions helping you be a better decision maker. So do you have all the facts to answer the questions that you have? I can't remember a time when I felt like I had all of or most of the facts in order to make a decision. A lot of times there are a lot of different opinions or point of views, and it's really hard to make decisions based on point of views. That could be a whole other podcast in itself, but making decisions and good decisions at that require asking a lot of questions. You don't have to have 100% of the answers to those questions in order to make a wise or good decision, but it is really important to at least ask the questions that will make or break a decision or sway you one way or another. Okay, so part 2 is questions that spark creativity. So if you are a creative entrepreneur or creative in your personal life, whatever it might be, you have absolutely hit a creative block at one point or another. It happens to everybody. There are times where we force ourselves to be creative under pressure, whether it's, you know, a timeline or a deadline, or you're really tired of a project and you're ready to wrap it up, so you just want to push through it. What do you ask if you are trying to get unstuck? That's really what it comes down to. Are you asking the questions you need to ask in order to get unstuck? For example, if you are having a creative block, as all creatives have, you have to think to yourself, what is creating this block? Do I not have the answers that I need to some things? Do I need to be asking more questions? There has to be something missing, because when you have all of the answers to a project scope, or you have the answers to, you know, whatever you might need from a client or a team member, it's a lot easier to move forward. There, of course, is a time where you have to do maybe a project that doesn't excite you, and that's a whole different kind of creative block. That's just not enjoying your job. But as far as asking the right questions to break through a creative block, I really recommend reading this section. If nothing else, if nothing else, grab this book. I'm not getting any kickbacks or anything from it, so no need to come at me for that. But I really do recommend this section. Like I said, most people end up with a creative block at one point, and so it's really important to ask the right questions to get out of that block. Okay, before I move on to the other parts, I actually really love this book for a lot of reasons, but I think the thing that I love the most is that you can read it cover to cover or section, like one section chunk, but they actually kind of have it set up or printed in a way that you can use it as a reference guide as well. So in each section, there is, of course, text and storyline that goes with each of the questions that you are being asked to think about. But there's also a section of each page that just has a list of the questions being asked on that page. I don't know if that's easy to kind of visualize, but I think there's something like 200 questions or something throughout the entire book, which oddly doesn't seem like a lot for how thick the book is, but it's actually a lot of questions. Each page has, of course, the story that he's telling along with the questions, but you actually just have the questions listed as well. So if there's a section that you want to go and look at and you're like, okay, I know that I am not being super creative right now, what the heck's going on? You can actually, instead of reading the entire chapter again, you can just look through the questions quickly, sort of like just a quick reference on each page and be like, okay, this is the section that I need to be reading right now. This is the question that I know I need to be asking. Okay, so that concludes my design audit of the book. So part three of this book is questions to help connect with others. If you're an introvert like me, you probably start every conversation with how are you and hope that the person you're talking to gives you enough to go into an entirely different conversation of, you know, like more than just how's the weather. Connecting with people is so important, whether it's your employees, your clients, your family, whoever you are trying to cultivate a relationship with, whatever that might look like. It's really important to ask the questions that help you feel closer to that person or help you connect with that person. I honestly could do an entire podcast episode on the power of connection. Earlier this year, Franny wrote an entire email, which shout out to Franny, about how I really connect and love on our clients. And I think part of that is because I just genuinely care and I genuinely want to see each of the businesses that we work with succeed. But I cultivate those relationships by asking questions. I can tell you just about every single one of our clients' dog's name, especially if I've met them. Huge dog person over here. But I can tell you their dog's name. If I don't know their kid's name, I probably know what they do for a living. I hear all about the ins and outs of their job. So if they're struggling with something or they're feeling tension somehow, I always have a question to follow up with. What I mean by that is when a client reaches out, I had asked enough questions during our initial conversation or a past conversation to ask them how that thing is coming along. For example, when I started working with a particular client or had a discovery call with them, the client let me know that her parents were not doing very well. One was on hospice, one just wasn't coping very well. And so when we followed back up a couple of months later, her mother had passed away and we pulled out all of the stops to make sure that she felt loved and comforted. And if I hadn't asked, that client probably would have thought that I didn't remember and just kind of went along with her day and her life. But quite honestly, it's so important to cultivate those connections. That client ended up being such an incredible client. She's still a client of ours. And I feel so much closer to her having shared that heartbreak. And so it's not only heartbreak, it's celebrating wins. we had another client that I ended up at a client appreciation party, ended up in absolute tears because she had just grown so much since we started working with her. And it's, again, it comes back to asking all the questions. It's who are they inside and out? Each person is so different and has different needs and thoughts and ideas. And anyway, you just don't know what you don't know. So asking questions and connecting with people is so powerful, and it creates loyalty and longevity of clientele. And it really just, you add to someone's life, and there's nothing better. Okay, moving on. The best part of this entire book is part four, and it's questions for strong leadership. Okay, so this takes me back to EOS. Bear with me. Is anybody still counting how many times I've said it? Okay, EOS. Let's talk about some of the things that we do in EOS, and all of them are around questions, which, you know, brings us back to the topic. So along with quarterly conversations, which of course have they have their own structure, which I am happy to hop into a little bit later, but along with questions in those quarterly conversations, we also are urged to do something called clarity breaks. And so the frequency is completely up to the leader or manager, but essentially these are journaling times for you. Yeah, I know. It's like, who has time to break away in the middle of a workday and journal and ask yourself questions and think about ideal outcomes? Essentially, it is a time to not work in the business, but work on the business. So what I did is I grabbed a notebook. Ideally, it's something you're not going to do digitally, because we all get notifications digitally all day long, especially if you're a business owner or managing a team. You are getting notifications all day long, whether it's Slack or Teams or emails popping up, or honestly, you know, programs saying it's time to restart or a new version of this is ready or whatever. So you're getting notifications all day long. The idea is to limit distractions. And when you limit distractions, this really cool thing happens where you can open up your mind to different things. Okay, hang in there with me. So what I did is I grabbed a notebook, and there are a million questions, some of which came from the book, but there are a million questions that I have about what life would look like if I did this in the business, or I did that with the team, or, you know, there are just so many different things that I ask myself throughout the day. So I always have this notebook with me, and I think like the first 20 pages or something, I set aside for writing down questions. And each week I have time carved out. It's about an hour, but on Fridays at the end of the week, I take an hour every Friday. That's the key, is consistency. But I take an hour and I go through the questions that I think are the most urgent. So the first 20 pages, I'll just start skimming through. I'll cross them out when I feel like I've answered them. Or if they're ones that I can come back and answer regularly, I will happily do that. Sometimes you have to revisit things as circumstances change, of course. But I go through and I ask these questions, and some of them are super easy, and some of them take 40 minutes of that hour to think about. And I just scribble all over the page everything that I'm thinking. You would laugh at me. It's full of grids and, you know, tables and all sorts of things that help me organize all of these thoughts. And a lot of them have different answers for different people within the business. So one of the most recent questions that I asked myself is, if someone were to need to take an extended period of time off, would we have someone in the business who is cross-trained to hop into that seat or take over those roles and responsibilities should we need someone to cover that? And immediately my brain goes, okay, I need to go through each individual person and what their roles and responsibilities are, and if anybody else knows how to do them. You would be shocked at how many people I have on our team that are the only ones that know how to do something, including myself. So that just opened up an entire list of potential to-dos. Do we need to hire more people? Do we need to cross-train more? Do we need to write standard operating procedures or SOPs? There are just so many questions. There are so many gaps that just need to be filled. And honestly, I talk about this pretty frequently with my team. If somebody is hit by the lottery bus, either something happens and they need an extended time away from the company for, a death in the family, or they get hurt or something, or they win the lottery and they're just like, okay, see you later. What would we do? We obviously want to make sure that the company is taken care of, but we also need to make sure that if anything happens, that people are able to take the time off they need to handle life. Life doesn't stop just because you're working. So if you take anything from this podcast, it's please take the time to sit down and journal or ask yourself questions and give yourself the time uninterrupted. Turn your cell phone off, put your laptop in your backpack or bag, or, go somewhere offsite, not in your office, that can really just give you the space and time that you need to answer some hard questions, because it is really important and it'll open the door for you to ask different questions that could help you grow your business or grow your team or grow your leadership skills, whatever it is that you want to grow or you want to manifest. You kind of got to put in the work, man. So that is clarity breaks. And so that's the you asking yourself questions. And quarterly conversations, they're actually really cool. So I'm going to go a little bit into the EOS Peer way of doing quarterly conversations. And if you are interested in EOS at all, we do have a podcast episode with Jennifer. She is our EOS implementer. I will go ahead and put in the show notes a link to that episode because it answers a lot of questions and she's obviously way more in the EOS world than I am. But yes, please go listen to that if you haven't already. EOS is amazing. EOS, EOS, EOS. Gotta hit that bet. Anyway, so quarterly conversations are super awesome. Like most things with EOS, it is offsite. No electronics unless you're doing something like note-taking wise. I use my iPad for taking notes, but I mean, pad and paper does just fine if you get notifications on your digital note-taking platform, whatever. So the idea is to go off-site to limit distractions, and I have to tell you, it's probably the best thing that you could do for yourself and your team. That way, there's not another team member being like, hey, can I snag you for a second? Or there's not a client or customer that comes in and, asks for your attention. It's really removing yourself. I actually did a quarterly conversation earlier this afternoon, so this is all fresh in my mind. But so you go and you sit with your employee or whoever you're doing a quarterly with, and you start talking about your company's values. So we have 5 core values, and it's really important for us to base any conversation off of what your company values are. Do you align with those company values, and do your roles and responsibilities and the seats that you sit in and are responsible for, do those still feel like they are, what you're doing? Have you taken on more? Have you not been doing the roles that you're assigned? Things like that. So they call it the 5-5-5 because typically people have 5 roles and responsibilities, 5 rocks, and which are big company goals or personal goals that you want to accomplish in a quarter. And you normally have 5 key measurements that you are in charge of. So that is a totally different conversation. I think Jennifer goes into that a little bit in her episode. So if you want to know more about 5-5-5s, go over there. But anyway, so we base our entire conversation around what their roles and responsibilities that they're assigned to the seats that they're sitting in. And we also talk about whether or not they still feel like they align with our values. So that's the basis of everything. We roll into what is working And there's two parts to this. So you want to ask your team members, what is working? Is there something that you're really proud of that you worked through? Is there someone that helped you get through that problem? Are you really proud of work that you've produced, sales goals, anything, whatever your company is using as a key measurement or a measurement of success, ask questions that lean towards that. And then come prepared with things that you see that they're doing really well. Chances are there will be overlap because the things that you're proud of them for are things that they're also proud of themselves for. But this really, it starts the conversation with positivity, and it's just so powerful to see people give themselves praise. That is really hard, especially in our society where we are so hard on ourselves. You guys, I can't even tell you how hard my team is on themselves, and I literally tell them they're amazing every day. So it's really nice to hear them talk about things that they're proud of. And as we continue doing these quarterly conversations, I think they'll get more in the mindset of praising themselves, which I can only hope for because I have a freaking amazing team and they should be super proud of themselves. Shout out to my team. I literally could not do any of the things that I do without you. So you guys are amazing. Keep believing in yourselves and I love you. Okay, moving on. So you will ask them what they feel like is going really well. What's working? Workflows, whatever. It could be literally anything from the workflows that you're working in to a sales process to how you communicate as a team, whatever it is. I've gotten such a plethora of answers over the last month and a half that I've been doing these quarterly conversations. So first you ask them what is working, then you tell them what you see is working. Again, there's going to be some overlap, but here's where the change can happen. And a lot of your questions should come in this section is what is not working? Okay. I'm going to say that again. What is not working? And this is a time for you to open up the floor to, are there issues with workflows? Are there issues with coworkers? Are there issues with the products that are going out? Is there issues with, in my case, my team member today she didn't feel like the way that I was scheduling things was working. And I have to say, after talking to her, I fully agree. It is not working. So we went through a list of issues. It's, again, listen and let them talk for 80% of it. I had to bite my tongue, you guys. I am all about creating all of the game plans and problem solving that I sat there and I was just like, okay, don't talk, Courtney. Just listen. Don't talk. Stop trying to talk. You're fine. Just save it till the end. So I bit my tongue and I listened and then I asked her more questions and let her problem solve 85% of it. Some things can't change, some things can, and some things just need follow-ups. So what I mean by that is identify the issue that is at hand. We'll just use the scheduling. A team member doesn't like the way or how frequently I'm scheduling a service because it feels like it's super random in the day and they don't feel like they can get anything done before or after. It just feels like their day is consumed by this like short time frame of a service. So this is a really good time to bring this up because I can ask her what her ideal solution is. What does the perfect outcome look like for this situation for you? And then I listen. And then most likely she's going to create the answer or the next step of what it's going to look like to have the perfect outcome. Like, you guys, I didn't have to say anything. I just had to keep asking questions and she gave me the answer. And I'm just sitting there being like, you know, my team is so freaking smart. Franny, Nicole, and I handpicked this team because they're so skilled and not asking them questions and letting them problem solve is literally a disservice to not only them, but to us too. I've really loved this journey of doing quarterly conversations because it has, one, helped me be a better listener, and two, it has really given my team a platform. Okay, so now that we've identified some issues, my team has, or whoever I'm doing the quarterly with, has created a next step or a solution, potential solution for whatever is not working. Then we slide into what is probably my favorite part. And I know that there are going to be managers and business owners that are cringing at this, but I ask them how I'm doing. How am I doing as a boss? Yeah, let that sink in. How are you doing as a boss? Is there anything that you can be doing to strengthen your relationship with that employee? Is there anything they can be doing to strengthen their relationship with you? Is there anything that you could be doing better or differently? Or is there a better way to talk to them or give them feedback? Or you really have to sometimes dig, because the automatic response is, oh my gosh, no, you're doing great. Like, thanks for being my boss. But what you really want is that constructive feedback. And it's not always easy to hear, but how are you supposed to get better? How are you supposed to know what you don't know? And so this was actually my favorite part. I love it when my team has the floor to tell me what I can be doing better, or compromise and work with the team in a way that is a lot easier for their brains to wrap around. Because ultimately, I'm a manager. Yes, I have my own set of roles and responsibilities, but my biggest role and responsibility is to be there for my team, is to support my team. And if I'm not doing that, I am not doing my job. So I love this feedback because I get to know how to be better and a better leader, better person for them. I just love them so much. I am just really, really thankful for questions. And that book, again, and I'll link it in the show notes too, is The Book of Beautiful Questions. I highly recommend picking up either a digital version or a printed version as a reference guide when asking questions to your team, to your family, to whoever you're trying to connect with, in any way that you are trying to grow as a human, whether it's in your personal or professional life. This book is very thought-provoking. And I don't recommend sitting and trying to read it like a chapter book, because you really want to take the time to reflect. So wrapping up the whole podcast episode right now, I recommend two things. One, to pick up this book and take a peek. Take the time to really digest some of the questions. Ask yourself the hard questions. And two, give yourself clarity breaks. Yes, you can do these even if you're not doing EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. Seriously, you are not alone. People implement just bits and pieces, but I guarantee implementing clarity breaks is going to be a game changer. You're going to be asking yourself hard questions. You're going to be giving yourself time to answer these questions. You don't have to implement every single answer you come up with or every single thing that you scribble down in your journal, but these clarity breaks are going to do just that. They're going to bring you clarity, and I just can't wait to see how this helps you and helps your business grow. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Again, DM me or email me if you have a Price is Right guess on how many times I said EOS. And yes, that one counts. So thank you again, and I can't wait until next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Something Businessy podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links and mentions.
And it would mean the world to us if you'd take a second to leave a review wherever you're listening today and share this episode with someone businessy.
We'd love to hang out with you more, so please come say hi to us on Instagram @somethingbusinessy.